Well, that was Elton John with How Wonderful Life Is While You're in the World. It's amazing, isn't it? What a privilege to have people in your life like that. I've got one of them sitting right across the road from me. But before I talk about that, I just want to welcome everybody to Community Matters. You're with Margaret O'Connor. It is the 11th of June. Can you believe it? We're nearly halfway through the year. I've got Ned sitting across, Ned, our garden guru. Good morning, Ned.
Good morning, Margaret. Great to be here as usual.
And thank you for choosing that song, Ned. I know it means a lot to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, lovely frost this morning.
Gorgeous frost. In fact, I think it's the first frost of that severity that I've seen this winter. Would that be right?
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago there was a light one, maybe two, but it's the first time the good carpeting of... Of the ice.
The silver, the silver carpet all over the... Well...
And, you know, if you've got the big spot, new spider webs, which are coated with the dew and the sun coming through, quite beautiful in itself.
Glorious. And then, of course, we've got one of those crystal sort of blue sky days, winter days.
Yep.
In New England.
With hopefully no wind or very little wind.
Yeah.
The wind's the bugger.
A glorious, glorious winter day in New England. So, Ned, we're going to do a bit of revision today, aren't we?
Correct.
this is the time. What we decided to do today was help everybody who wants to kind of lash out on something really luxurious that only we can do in the New England. Would that be right?
Luxuriant only in New England? Yes, why not? It's got, well, you need a cold climate.
Yeah.
So today I'm talking about peonies. And later on, ital peonies.
Ital.
Yeah, that's further along. All the peony plants, the dormant ones, held in bags like daffodils or tulips, they've just arrived in the nursery, about 10 days ago. And right. I think we had about 60. They're all gone. Another 40 came from another company. They'll be gone by tomorrow afternoon, I imagine. Everyone's...
Wow.
It's a bit like dahlias. Everyone's back to adoring peonies.
Yeah. Well, they are the most magnificent flowers, aren't they?
They are the queen of the flowers, I would imagine.
Can I tell you a peony story before we move on?
Certainly.
Well, I was at a wedding in Western Australia. It was my nephew-in-law's wedding, and his bride had her heart set on peonies. But they couldn't get peonies because there's a kind of agricultural sort of barrier, I think, to get those flowers across from the east to the west. So I ended up doing quite a lot of the flower arranging, as it turned out. But we ended up having to use proteas as an alternative. But the bride was a little bit, you know, she had a minor heartbreak because she had her heart set on peonies because they are so romantic, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they're a very popular flower for brides. You know, they want them in their bouquet or to dress up the marquee or inside a hall or something. Yep.
And I have used peonies for sort of public flower decoration and of course, we've got peony farms here.
Yep.
But I can tell you they are in a different category of delicacy, aren't they? They're just... I've got another peony story, but I'll wait for that. But they are... that you've really got to handle them carefully, don't you, to... For floral art, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not sure about floral art.
Flower decorating, flower arrangements.
Yeah. Well, they're big and bold, you know, they're lovely.
Oh, they're magnificent. They're absolutely magnificent, but they're delicate. You've got to really look after them, you know, in the vase.
Anyway. Like any cut flower, yep.
That's right, yeah.
So they fit the stands, the peonies, selling out quickly.
Right.
But then most people, I would say 98% of people who come in, customers who come in, actually don't know know the best way to actually grow and cultivate them.
Right.
So I always have to give this little couple of minute
talk.
Chat to them. Now, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Actually, there aren't that many things you have to do. If you're buying a new one, a dormant one in a packet.
Yeah.
As opposed to buying them in a pot, I'll get to that later. What you need is at least 1 kilogram of lime, sometimes even two.
Wow, okay. because they're lime lovers.
Very much so, yep. Yeah, so and you need sea mungus, mm-hmm. a handful of that, a great bag of compost, and a little bit of chick manure. So what I do is that I create this recipe in a big bucket, mix it all through, mm-hmm. a little bit of garden soil as well, mix it all through, mm-hmm. Throw in sea mungus at the bottom of the hole, your new hole.
Of course, that's one version of basically a sea, any kind of seaweed mix.
That's but correct. Yeah.
We're using that even though we're not promoting it, but we're just using that as a kind of,
as an example.
As an example of the product you need, which has got those sea minerals and things in them.
So all those contents you mix up in a bucket, throw that in the bottom of your hole, plant your peony, generally a couple of centimetres, the little eye which you can see where it's going to emerge, that will be a couple of centimetres below the surface of the soil.
2 centimetres below?
Just a little bit below, yep.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And water well.
Right.
And never mulch in winter.
Never.
Ever. The reason for this is the roots need really, really cold soil.
So if
you're putting a layer of sugar cane on top of that to reduce weeds, just don't do it because it keeps the soil too warm.
Oh, how amazing. Mm. Don't put a coat.
No mulch on top at all.
Let them really chill.
When you're hitting spring, yes, then you can mulch to preserve water.
Mm-hmm. But obviously in spring. Oh, okay, let's keep going. I won't interrupt you. Go. Sorry.
Anyway, people think you have to wait 1 or 2 years to get a flower of peonies. Mm-hmm. It's never been in my case. In every year when I plant one, say in June, July, it will have flowers around Melbourne Cup Day.
Mm.
If that thing about lime, sea mungus, bit of manure. Also, if you can give it monthly doses of mixed minerals sort of thing.
So would that be like a standard fertiliser or what's the mixed minerals?
So one which is mixed copper, iron, just a mixture of elements.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, a bit of zinc, that sort of thing. The thing you have to remember, very important, is that the roots of peonies only grow in the winter.
Okay.
Most people think they've gone to rest because the foliage has died down, but the new exploratory roots, especially the white fibrous ones, they grow in winter. When spring hits, the roots stop growing, but they just start to feed of all the soil and fertiliser, etc., around them.
Oh, that's why you've got to have that there ready and waiting for them.
A bit like
burying the...
And I have said in previous weeks, you do fertilise or re-fertilise Anzac Day and Melbourne Cup Day.
Ah. Okay, so if you... So those peonies are going to stay in the ground for good, aren't they? They're not going to...
The roots being disturbed. Mm-hmm. You can set that back by a long way.
Right, okay. So when you plant peonies, make sure you plant them where they're going to stay.
Yep.
Right, okay.
Now, you can buy them in pots in spring, but I don't recommend it. So what happens if you move a peony from a pot into the ground... It will immediately start to grow in spring, foliage and leaves and stems at the expense of the new peony from a pot growing further roots and getting established. So you'll, if you do, be prepared. If you are transplanting from a pot to the ground, you're probably going to set it back 18 months before it flowers.
Wow. So if you're willing for that sacrifice... You can do that, but that's because you're basically going to set them up for an exhausting above ground growth spurt at the expense of the root ball.
So actually at work you have to always do a million little courses. and I find them really boring, about privacy, about health and safety, all those sort of things. But there was one that I found this week, and I did it when it was an abominable weather in the nursery, one on bulbs.
Oh, okay.
And two things which reinforce my knowledge or help me a little bit further is that you must apply a lot of lime for your peonies.
Mm-hmm.
This fellow was saying 2 kilos per plant. And I think that's a bit excessive. I just do 1 kilo. The other thing is about daffodils. Never put them in the fridge.
Oh.
No matter where you live.
Right, okay.
That's because if you take them out of the fridge, they're below, a couple of temperature, Celsius?
Three to four degrees, yep. Your fridge is.
Thank you, Margaret. When they go into the ground, and it's hitting 23, 24, 25 in spring, the bulbs just immediately start growing.
Right.
And they haven't had time to get their roots established, which is the most important thing. So this new hot weather is forcing it to go to produce new leaves and probably very few flowers.
Okay, so the principle underlying this, correct me if I'm wrong, because you must, is that the warmth will stimulate leaf growth. At the expense of the time to get the roots sorted.
That's correct.
So that's why you need to basically think very much about how you're going to look after the root ball first in the winter.
So that's actually the same principle as peonies, yep.
Mm.
You need the roots to get established and to grow up to be what we call maybe an adult, so then they can make their own flowers properly.
Right. Would that apply to irises? I mean, I know they're not; they're a different sort of thing, but
it could.
I worry about my irises because they just never seem to flower. They grow, but they never seem to flower.
Well, I worry about mine because I'm terrible at growing irises.
Mm, interesting.
And I've worked in many of people's gardens, and they're just easy care. Just leave them alone.
Yeah. But. Mm. Anyway, let's move on. Let's stay with peonies for now.
Mm-hmm. Ito peonies.
Spelt
I-T-O-H. Mm-hmm. Now, for hundreds of years, they've been trying to crossbreed or hybridise a tree peony with a herbaceous peony.
Right, and what's the difference? A tree peony is...
Well, it's just a long, tall, bloody fellow, isn't it? Mm. And then the herbaceous is the ones that we're talking about. Which are, low foliage.
Mm.
And no one had been able to do it. Then in 1947, I think, in Japan, just after the aftermath of the World War II, when the country was pretty desolate and not functioning well, a guy called Ito, was the first person who actually ever crossed the two together.
Wow. How did he do it?
Well, it had been near impossible because they flower about 6 to 8 months apart.
Ah, okay.
So to be able to cross-pollinate these things, which are half a year or more apart in flowering, was very, very difficult.
Mm.
Somehow he was able to get the pollen from the tree peony and cross it with an ovary of some kind in the flower of the herbaceous peony.
Uh-huh.
And wow, it was a great success. He'd done it, the first ever.
Uh-huh.
Now, he had to grow them from seed, these new fellows.
Right.
And he kept growing them for nearly 8 years. And they still hadn't flowered, but very, very exciting because it was growing from seed. Then, unfortunately, the poor fella died.
That's right, yes.
So he had this obsession, I'm going to create this great flower. And great plant, and the poor thing died. He never saw a flower in his life. So his wife and son took over the growing of these new peonies, and they waited until they got flowers, and they were absolutely fantastic.
Oh, right.
So then an American bought the rights and the plants, etc., and took them back to America and began breeding them. And then a lot of other Americans jumped on the bandwagon, so in America, there are lots and lots of different peonies. But at this stage, say 15 years later, after Itol's death, one bulb could cost you up to $1,500.
Wow.
They were not cheap.
A bit like the tulip craze.
Yep. Anyway, they became available a couple of years ago in Australia. It was on my bucket list. I'd only ever seen photos of them. Then last year they came into the nursery, so I got really, really excited that I've got to try some of these.
I think that's when we did our first chat about the Itol, and you were extremely excited about them.
Oh, yeah. But then I looked at the price of them on the shelves. $50, $75, $80 a pop. And I'm thinking, well, this is way, way, way above my pay scale. So I sort of hid them in a few places in the nursery thinking, will I buy them? Will I buy them? And about 3 weeks passed, I thought, yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you go?
Absolutely fantastic. So I followed that recipe that I've mentioned before.
That's the lime, the sea minus.
And I realised, I looked up my garden diary, that I'd planted them early August. They flowered late October. So I thought, April. So about 4 months later, 3.5 months later, from a brand new bulb, I had flowers. And they were magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. So this year, I probably got about 5 or 6 from each plant.
Wow.
So this year I'm expecting 15, 20. Once they're established, you can get up to 50 flowers per plant.
Well, how long does that take?
I'm hoping that's going to happen in the second, third year. Anyway, I just keep throwing love at them every day.
And so we know how to look after them in that first establishment. For a lot of people listening, if they're going to get excited about this and invest in these long-term plants, they'll be coming in now. They'll need that recipe that we've just talked about, the planting recipe. But for people who've got peonies, and maybe they're not doing that well, or what's the maintenance regime?
Yeah, Margaret, you follow the same recipe basically. Lots of lime, sea mungus, chick manure, trace elements. That's what I meant before, trace elements. Trace elements are the ones which you'll get all the iron, the zinc, the copper. Marilyn Pigeon, who began the peony farm here, who's sold most of it on, I call her the doyen of peonies. She says copper is very essential.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
But very difficult to find copper for adding to a garden. That's why I'm saying...
get your trace elements.
Yeah. And you should, if you can, you do that once every month.
Oh, okay. Right, for the full 12 months.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Fantastic. And what colours do they...
Well, I do have my laptop in front of me if I turn it on. Oh, they come in yellows, creams. Generally they have the centre is a different colour, like a burgundy or a purple. Let me see what else. The ones that I planted last year are Canary Brilliant.
So that's a yellow.
Lollipop. Yep.
Yeah.
And a Lollipop, which is pretty. And a Caroline Constable, did I say that?
No. What colour's Caroline Constable?
It's a pale mauvey pink with the purple centre and then little white flowers as well. It's hard to really describe because they're just so beautiful. Oh. Words can't put their true beauty, explain their true beauty.
I know. And can I just ask you this question? Quite a lot of people here might have been out to the peony farm. Are they Itol peonies or are they herbaceous or what are they that we're...
The vast majority would be herbaceous.
Right.
But again, I talked to Marilyn last week, and she says that she's having fantastic success with the Itols.
Because
they flower longer, you get more flowers, and you get more bang for your buck.
Okay, so they are worth the initial investment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
You're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, can I just throw in a little query here? I don't know, I must have gone out to the peony farm and got, I know that when they pick them early in the morning for market, they are not flowering at all, that you just, there's no flower there. I mean, there's a bud, but not an open flower. And I remember I had a visiting a guest. I don't know how this happened, but I had a stem, a single stem that hadn't come out, so it was just like a sort of green stick with a very sort of tightly closed bud on it. I gave it to this. It was a political person, and I said, "Take this home to your wife. See what happens." Anyway, I got a message a few days later saying, "Oh, it was unbelievably beautiful," and my wife was thrilled to bits, you know. And it was, well, it was a lovely story for me, because just I said, "Look, I don't know what will happen. Just take it home, give it to your wife, and see what happens." And that's what happened. So, would that have been the herbaceous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Definitely the herbaceous.
Right.
Herbaceous would have 98% of the Australian market, I would imagine.
Right. Okay. So the Eto
only recently has become available.
Oh, okay. So do you think that the Eto will become a commercially, you know, the dominant, over time will become the dominant commercial variety, or?
It may well, I'm unsure. Mm.
Yeah, interesting. Yep.
Not having a farm myself and not really understanding the market, where they're sold, who they're sold to.
Mm. Oh, I do know from going out to the peony farm that they have to pick them, I think early in the morning, and there should be no flower showing. At the point of harvest, for that exact reason, that they're going to be their best when they reach the customer's home and sit there and, okay.
So under that, it's a bit, I have a similar story about growing or flowering peonies. So when I bought my present house and had a bit of a garden, not much, I discovered there was a single peony in the back garden.
Yep.
And I got so excited, so I gave it lots of love and attention. And then in spring comes along, huge big stalks with big fat buds. Very, very excited. I rushed down to town.
Yeah.
Bought a bottle of Maui champagne.
Oh, yes.
Came home, stuck it in the fridge door, texted all my friends, when this peony comes out in flower, my first in my whole entire life, come round and celebrate, we'll drink the bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
So days pass. The bud didn't look like it was going to open. Weeks passed, maybe 6 weeks altogether.
Really?
The buds were getting plumper and fuller, and I thought it was going to shatter. There was so much, seemed like energy inside it. And I was just getting...
Meanwhile, the Maui's getting older and older in the fridge.
And how many times do you open a fridge per day? So you've seen this bottle of Maui in the door fridge every day.
Yeah.
And one afternoon I got home from work and I had a look and still hadn't opened. I thought, oh, I'm fed up with you, you naughty little peony, you recalcitrant little fella. And so I grabbed a chair, grabbed the Maui and a nice glass, sat down next to the plant, and sort of thought, come on, you've got to do it. And I drank the whole bottle of champagne myself.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, come on, you've got to do something, Penny. You've got to do something. Yeah. Embracing it sort of lightly in a funny way. Anyway, I went to bed. Next morning I walked out, bang.
Ah.
They'd all opened. And they were the size of dinner plates.
Oh, how amazing.
Pure white. Absolutely stunning. So to this day, no one can say that it's a silly story, that drinking that Maui champagne made those bulbs open.
All right.
So every year I buy another bottle of Maui and stick in the fridge in expectation of it going to open again.
Mm.
One year, though, I was a bit poor and I substituted with a really cheap bottle of champagne.
Mm.
No flowers that year.
Interesting.
Not a one.
Mm. So they've got taste and they don't appreciate being undercut with cheap alternatives.
Exactly.
Terrific.
So that former recipe I told you about, the sea mungus, the chicken manure, rooster booster, trace elements, and a whole lot of lime, also include a bottle of Maui.
Plus the Maui champagne.
Yeah.
Terrific. Oh, fantastic.
Mm.
So, and of course the plan for the flowering would be that if you buy them in this sort of retail season, plant them soon, you would be expecting them what, by Melbourne Cup Day or sooner?
Around Melbourne Cup, yeah.
Right. And then the maintenance regime is, as you're saying, the minerals every month, and then a really big dump of fertiliser on Anzac Day and Melbourne Cup?
Bingo.
Right, yep. Okay. Fantastic. Is that it?
That's it. Yep, I'm about to have a coughing spit. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much, Ned.
Thank you, Mario. Love being here as usual.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful, Ned. Thank you. And, of course, the colour range that you can get. Well, the perennial, the ordinary peonies are still in the still available as well, aren't they?
They've just begun.
They've just begun, okay. Mm. So you can go for those very new and explosively gorgeous Ito. Peonies.
Ito's have not quite available yet, maybe another fortnight.
Oh, is that right?
They're so just the normal herbaceous ones?
Oh, so the normal herbaceous are here now, and the Ito's will be coming in about a fortnight's time.
Exactly.
And are they marked as Ito peonies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, terrific. Okie doke. Well,
thank you.
Let's get the party started, and in order to celebrate this, I've got pink with Let's Get That Party Started.